Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, your go-to source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We hope you tune in often for all things people management, organizational development and change, organizational leadership, and social impact related. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with Human Capital Innovations Podcast. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. In this HCI podcast episode, I talk with Andrew Bartlow about scaling for success, people priorities for high growth organizations. Andrew Bartlow, welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm super excited to have a nice conversation today. We're going to be focusing on your recent book that you were co-author on, titled Scaling for Success, People Priorities for High Growth Organizations. And this is something that so many leaders have to deal with. When you're in the scaling and growth stage, that introduces a whole nother level of challenges and complexities for people management and organizational leadership. So we're going to dive on into that together today. As we get started, I wanted to share Andrew's bio with everybody. Andrew Bartlow has 25 years of human resources and talent management experience at organizations across a wide spectrum of sizes, maturity stages, and industries. He's the co-author of Scaling for Success, People Priorities for High Growth Organizations, has a master's degree from the top program in his field, and has been a CECP, SPHR, and Six Sigma and executive coaching certified through his career. Andrew leads Series B Consulting, which helps businesses to articulate their people strategy and accelerate their growth while navigating rapid change. He also founded the People Leader Accelerator, which is the preeminent development program for startup HR leaders. He's worked with clients like Masterclass and many others to help them overcome obstacles in a hyper growth phase. I love it. I think that's incredible. I'm super excited for this conversation. Anything else you would like to share with listeners by way of your background or context before we dive on in?
Boy, that's a lot already of my background. Really appreciate the softball pitch and the setup.
All right, yeah. So let's go ahead then and dive on in. What motivated you to write this book and to get into really this whole line of work that you're in?
I was at a reset moment of my career. I was head of HR at a company that went public on my watch and went through a series of mergers and acquisitions and got really big. It's now known as Invitation Homes. It's probably a $25 billion market cap. And I had a little tiny piece of it. And through the mergers and acquisitions, headquarters moved a couple of times, and I was not signing up to travel to Dallas on a weekly basis from the San Francisco Bay Area or moving. So I pulled my golden parachute 3 or 4 years ago, cashed out all my equity, and was at this self-actualization moment where I was trying to figure out what the heck I want to do with myself. Having been, you know, I've been in HR roles at a dozen different companies, been in the top job maybe four times. And I was trying to figure out, do I be a stay-at-home dad? I tried that for a little while. I was terrible at it. And thought hard about how can I be useful? How can I use these hard knocks that I've experienced over the past 25-ish years to help others? And so that's where the bucket list book came from. And that led to an exec ed program, you know, People Leader Accelerator, you mentioned that, which is really based on the book. And I started doing one-on-one and group mentoring for HR leaders. So, you know, that's how I feel useful. That's where the book came from, is trying to help others that do what I do and might be in an earlier stage of their career.
Yeah, that's great. So let's dive on in and talk a little bit about the premise behind the book and some of the key tenets that you share throughout the text. Again, scaling for success, people priorities for high growth organizations. There's a lot there to unpack. Can you describe a little bit for us?
Yeah. So there are some foundational truths around management practices, deep body of knowledge and research that you're well aware of, that is largely based on very large, very stable, mature organizations. Living out here in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is the startup and tech hub of the world, still is, even with the branches reaching out. I'd seen a number of other people in the HR community and high growth, mostly tech companies, really struggling to figure out how to handle their growth. And that's where I thought I could be useful. I've been in that top job at a number of tech startups and supported others. How do I help those leaders, whether they're HR leaders or founders and business leaders, figure out how to navigate through high growth and handle the chaos that comes with hyper growth when you get venture dollars or even PE dollars. Things move faster than when you're at a bootstrapped company. It's essentially grow or die, especially in the venture community. And so there's a lot of pressure to move quickly. Lots of mistakes are made. The Facebook quote of, move fast and break things. We can get more right early. And so that's what I was trying to work through.
Yeah. And I like that idea of getting more right early. I mean, there are certain mistakes and missteps that are just inevitable. They're going to happen as you're growing, as you're learning. And frankly, a lot of people, in startup phase don't necessarily have the people management or organizational leadership skills or competencies. And it may only, sometimes you have startups that don't even add someone with those competencies until they already have, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus employees, at which point, there's already a lot of messes that could have been in the works. And so the reality is, yes, there are going to be mistakes, there are going to be missteps, but can we be more thoughtful and prepare and design things and be more strategic, better earlier to avoid a lot of those missteps? Absolutely. I'm 100% a believer in that. And and then of course, as we're in a nascent organization and it grows and develops and matures over time, then you bring on more people and the complexity grows, all that kind of stuff. You have a more robust and more mature HR department and set of people working on the variety of different necessary skills. All of that happens, but yes, from the very beginning, from the founding team, you need to have people thinking about organizational design, about people management and leadership principles, so that you start to create the culture you want. So you start to create and embed, this kind of design and environment throughout all aspects of the organization as it grows.
You nailed it. Absolutely. Couldn't say it better. Lots of good intentions, lots of activity. I noticed that there was a preponderance. There was this really common approach to lift and shift and use other companies' best practices. Or if Google did such and such, then we want to do it at our 25-person company. Or we heard that Zappos did Holacracy. All right, let's delayer our organization. I really wanted to help these high growth companies understand what's right for them. And so I had three primary tenets to the book. One is have a plan. Yes, that plan will change, that plan will evolve, but boy, figure out where you're going, otherwise you'll never get there, right? Have a plan. And that's an organizational plan and it's a people plan and they ought to be tied together. Two is ruthlessly prioritize. Particularly in high growth, things are moving way, way crazy fast. There's too much to do, too many stakeholders. You'll never satisfy them all. Too many founders and HR leaders burn out because they don't figure out how to put it in context. So ruthlessly prioritize. You can move 3 things a mile or 30 things an inch. Let's make better progress. And then maybe third is context is king. So what works for some organization may or may not work for you. Best practices are best viewed with a critical and skeptical eye.
Yeah, and that's such an important point. Best practices are from within a particular context and set of circumstances that are usually quite unique to that particular organization, their founding team, the culture, the external environment they find themselves in, all of those things. And so can we learn things and principles from best practice case studies from various organizations? Absolutely. Can we adopt them wholesale and simply try to, you know, completely apply straight over into our organization? You can try, but it's probably almost never going to work because context matters and everyone's context is different. Even if you're in the same industry, same general size, you can check a lot of the boxes to say, yes, we're similar in these ways. You're still different and you're still unique. And so you can't just wholesale adopt what other people have been doing that have been working for them.
Yeah. Yep. Some things you can. Some frameworks will be helpful. And I try to provide frameworks throughout the book. And it's all with this people and management practice lens. Scaling up by Gazelles, that's a management framework. EOS, the entrepreneurial operating system, that can be useful with some group. Several different approaches out there. Couldn't tell you how many playbooks I've come across from the venture community where you're trying to make it easier for your portfolio companies to move through these stages of growth, all really well intended, but all still necessary to evaluate in your own context what's right for us right now.
I'm excited to announce the publication of my new book from HCI Press, Bluer Than Indigo Leadership: The Journey of Becoming a Truly Remarkable Leader. Early in my adult life, I learned about an Asian proverb that translates as bluer than indigo. If you think about the color indigo, it is a brilliant, deep, and vibrant blue, what some would call the bluest of blues. To have something that is bluer than indigo is rare and truly remarkable. Contrary to popular myth, there is no one-size-fits-all or cookie-cutter approach to effective leadership. There's no silver bullet, no secret sauce, no go-to model that will solve all of our problems. The truth is, great leaders have all had their unique strengths and flaws, and have all had to discover and then pave their own distinctive path in their life's journey to fulfill their leadership potential. Bluer Than Indigo Leadership will help you discover your own path and explore those ordinary, everyday actions that will help you respond to an uncertain future and produce extraordinary results for individuals, teams, and organizations.
Yeah, so, and I interrupted you, I apologize. So we're talking about context, then what else? What comes next?
Well, those are the three tenets of the book, and I break it down into the classic subsections of human resources. Actually, maybe a little bit more extended than some people think about it. So we talk about org structure and org design. Like how do you sequence your senior team hires? That's a typical challenge there. When do you layer your founding employees? We talk about talent acquisition and how to tackle that in a high growth environment, especially around selection. There's some, what you do at a very early stage should be different than what you do as you're scaling up and doubling the size of your organization quickly. We talk about total rewards and the concept of an employment value proposition. There's equity, there's benefits, there's base pay. We know the base pay is changing rapidly. We think we do, but nobody has great data on it right now. So how do you tackle that? So it's 10 chapters. We could go into tons of detail about the breakdown of the book, but it's really trying to touch on each of the major components of your management operating system at a high growth organization and from the lens of HR. Elad Gill with the High Growth Handbook, I think came the closest to doing this, but that's from a broader business perspective. He did some great work there. We have the only book that I'm aware of and Dave Ulrich blurbed us, which was wonderful, and specifically called this out, that there's this donut hole in the literature for high growth organizations with an HR lens. And so we try to fill that donut hole.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about some of the common challenges you've seen in the various roles you've had over time, you know, in these high growth kind of environments. Again, you mentioned earlier, and I talked about it a little bit too, that of course we're going to see mistakes and missteps. That's just part of the deal. But what are some of the biggest types of avoidable mistakes you've seen if people can kind of hone in and pay attention to the type of stuff that you're talking about in your book?
Yeah, and I'll step back a moment and share, okay, here's where I'm coming from. Have, again, worked at 12-ish companies over those 25 years, top job, 4 or 5 times. I'm actively consulting more than a dozen companies and HR leaders, primarily venture-backed, but also PE-backed. There are a lot of similarities, but some critical differences. A really common issue, what I come across more than anything else, is lack of clarity. And that's lack of clarity in terms of the top level company goals and priorities, which then makes it really stinking hard to waterfall, cascade that down into the goals and priorities of the HR and people organization, into the other functions, whether it be sales or product or you name it. And there's this embracing of the chaos that I think is a little silly. Yes, it's chaotic. Yes, there's a ton of stuff happening. Yes, things change. But again, if you don't have some true north, overused term, if you don't have some plan, then it's really hard to align a team of any size, you know, a team that's bigger than what could fit in your garage, behind whatever the goals and priorities are for your organization. So that's the biggest thing that I come across. And frankly, HR, where it doesn't exist at a company or it's not super clear, HR is probably best positioned to help drive that clarification at the organizational level because it touches everything else.
Yeah, that clarity is so important. And it'll, you know, if we can do it well, it's going to drive focus in, along meaning, purpose, and providing value to the marketplace for all aspects of the organization. And so I agree. I think HR can be a real driver for that. And clearly, it should be a top priority for all key stakeholders, all leaders within the organization, from the founding team and the CEO all the way on down, regardless of how, you know, flat or tall the hierarchy is or whatever. So the clarity piece is super important. And as we, you know, the communication around the clarity piece is such a huge challenge for most organizations. And the faster you're growing and the more complex you become, the more tricky that becomes, right? And the more challenging it is, because you're constantly having to repeat, and refocus as you're bringing on new people. And you know, if you're scaling quickly, you literally, over the course of 6 months or a year, you have like a whole new organization. And so you can't take it for granted that people get it. You have to just be very persistent over time.
Yep. You haven't said it enough until you're sick of saying it. There's a better way to say that, I'm sure. But yeah, if your organization is growing 50% year over year, you have 10, 20, 30% turnover, you have total organization renewal. And, you know, we humans, in the absence of information, we tend to get cynical sometimes, and we can drift, and we can work on whatever is at, you know, the top of our inbox rather than what the most important thing is. So Eisenhower matrix, importance versus urgency, that's a great tool, really oldie but goodie. Tools to help sort out clarity. Patrick Lencioni has a great model. I don't think it's the best science-based model, but I like the practicality and simplicity of the 6 questions for clarity. You know, why do we exist? What do we do? How do we behave? What's most important right now? Who will do what? I forgot one in there. But that's a really useful exercise to take a leadership team through. And I've done that in in-house roles and as an advisor. And boy, if you can nail some of those questions, that's a heck of a lot more valuable than going down a black hole of mission, vision, values. Like, just get clear on what your organization's trying to accomplish. That's way more powerful than a bunch of flowery wordsmithing on mission, vision, values.
Yeah, amen. That's one of my pet peeves. And anytime someone is saying, okay, it's now time to refresh our mission, vision, values, I'm like, I'm all for having clear mission, vision, values, but there's only so much value that you can get from churning through that. And the reality is most organizations don't even really use them anyways. And so you spend all this time and energy trying to craft something that is only tangential at best in terms of integration throughout the organization. So having more clarity around how you're adding value to the market is going to play a much bigger role in my mind. Do we want to be a purpose-driven organization with, you know, staying true to core values? Yes. And we should communicate those things well and effectively, but in and of themselves, they won't get us to our end goal.
Yeah. I frankly don't see it as a really valuable standalone exercise. It's part of that larger exercise of what are we trying to accomplish? What's the most important thing right now? How do we behave? It's part of it. So I like that Lencioni framework, you know, author of Five Dysfunctions of the Team, The Advantage. He lives just down the road from me. You know, great stuff that I use a lot. I do feel like it's important to comment though on I've noticed that there is a shift from total chaos, no planning, no prioritization, just everything's happening all at once, to huge overcorrection at a number of organizations where like, oh, we missed a goal, we missed a deadline. Now let's implement quarterly OKRs at an individual level with, you know, 70% goals and stretch targets. And wow, what a great example of lifting and shifting and best practices that may not be best from you. One of my favorite things to talk about is like, why would your 50-person organization think that a process from 1970s Intel, thanks Andy Grove, would be the right thing for your rapid growth, rapidly evolving knowledge worker organization? So be cautious of going from no process, no clarity to overdoing it in a high change organization.
Yeah, and I've seen that a bunch of times as well. And I get the pull towards that. Yeah. And I can understand why, you know, from a psychological standpoint, people and leaders want to try to do that. But then you just become way overly rigid. You're no longer able to be rapidly adaptive. And it's important to have structure and scaffolding to support what you're trying to accomplish in your organization. But if your policies, practices, and procedures become so dense that you no longer can be, you know, a really entrepreneurial organization, then you're shooting yourselves in the foot. And there's a certain amount of discomfort that's always going to be there. Certainty is a facade. Like, we can't be certain about much of anything. And so we just have to build the scaffolding to support what we're trying to do without layering so many things on top of us that we can't, you know, so many blankets on top of us, we can't even move in the bed.
There's this natural tension at high growth, rapidly evolving organizations between speed and structure, right? And there's often the white blood cells of an organization want to stamp out the structure and the process. And that's a dirty, dirty big company word. And I don't think it's all or nothing. And a lot of people get stuck there. I don't know whether I coined this or heard it from somebody smarter than me. There's a Goldilocks zone where it's not too hot, it's not too cold, but it's just right, and it's just right for you, where there's enough process, there's enough structure, there's enough internal discipline to get just enough, maybe not quite enough, clarity, communication, alignment around, you know, key things in your management operating processes that'll help your organization really take off. Look for that Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, I love it. Andrew, it has been a pleasure. I note the time and I need to let you go here in just a minute. But before we close, I wanted to give you a chance to share with listeners how they can get connected with you, find out more about your work, your team, your books, and then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Yeah, well, thank you. Please link in with me, Andrew Bartlow on LinkedIn. You can also follow my blog and join. I don't really have a newsletter, but I put out a lot of content, at least monthly, on my website, Series B Consulting. Things start to get interesting around your second round of funding. That's a great way to follow me. And then if you're an HR leader that is interested in growing and expanding your skills and becoming part of a really powerful peer community, People Leader Accelerator has its own website, and we are starting to take applications for an early 2022 cohort.
Wonderful. Thank you, Andrew. It has been a real pleasure. I encourage listeners to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Andrew can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week.
The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership. Ordinary everyday actions that produce extraordinary results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years. With increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition, the average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life. Check out Human Capital Innovations magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine with the mission to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We publish issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Take a look at the latest issue and let us know what you think.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week.